for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Wednesday afternoon service of July the 3rd, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The Coffeys will be the speakers for this afternoon.
Brother and Sister Coffey, Jim and Mildred, come minister the word of the Lord to us this afternoon.
No, I'm not going to preach this afternoon, my other half. And that's not facetious, and that's not light when I say this, because we're one. In fact, we're so much one that when we study, we have to get in different rooms and we still preach the same thing. And we don't know what the other's preaching, and I study in one room at a desk in one room, and she studies in another room, and she has, on a given Sunday, the morning service, and I have the evening service, and we'll both preach the same thing. We'll use the same scriptures right down the line. And that's good, because the Lord made us one.
Right.
Now, I want one thing before I get down away from here. We were talking, I keep saying, well, you know, we've been coming over here 5 or 6 years.
Long
they
way.
Got to talking. You know when we came over here? It was either 78 or 79.
First time.
The first time we came. Was 78 or 79. We didn't come back for a year or so, but then we started coming back two or three times a year. And then and for the last number of years, we have come to every meeting, I think, maybe missing one, sometimes missing one when we're not able to get here. And I say this to say unto you that you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful to the Lord if you want deliverance. You've got to make up your mind to be set free. Now, we're not faithful to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We're faithful to Jesus.
Amen.
And we love this camp, and we love the people in it. Glenn and Irma especially are the leaders of this camp. But it's Jesus that draws us back. And that's what needs to draw you here. And what I really want to say is, you came, Mildred said it the other day, you came a long distance. Some of you came a long distance to get deliverance. We find that women tend not to get deliverance when the men are present. And the men won't get deliverance when the women are present. Not nearly as readily as they will when you separate them. I don't know why that is, but that's true. Has anybody else ever found that to happen? I see a head shake back here. That works that way. But you came a long way, and you if you really need deliverance, and we're not talking about little furballs, as we call them, those little tiny things. If you have embedded spirits that you can't handle yourself, those things that cause you to do things you can't help, then you prepare yourself and say, I'm going to get rid of them today. I don't care who sits around me. I don't care what they think. They keep saying that if you lose your dignity, you can get your dignity back. But you can't get deliverance on every street corner and every day. So you came for deliverance, let's get deliverance.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was sharing with Jim the other day. I had turned on the TV, and I don't know what I was watching. I think it was on the, I think it was the 700 Club, and I flipped it on, and I don't even remember who was talking, but something that was said, because I was walking through the house, and I keep noises in my house. We live on 51 Highway, and it gets real noisy, and most of the time I'm playing the tape, but I just happened to turn it on. And they were talking about demons, and of course I stopped to see what they said, because you don't hear much of that on TV. And they were saying, you know, Hollywood believes in demons. They make pictures about them, you know, they make them cute and whatever. And said, the world believes about demons. So the only person that people that don't believe about demons is the church. And you know, I thought about that, and it's true. It's really true. The church doesn't believe about demons. I was sharing upstairs a while ago. We had a good time up there. I was afraid y'all might hear us. We got a little loud on the soul. And I was just sharing on one spirit on the soul. And I had some of the girls that asked me to share it down here so the husbands could hear it. So we'll see how the Lord leads in that direction. But there's been some different things said about soul ties and so forth. And so I had really planned to share on the sins of the fathers. And I may get over on the soul, but just as the Spirit of the Lord leads. But, you know, I really believe that unless we get all of our soul back, we can't walk it. We won't walk into the kingdom the way we desire to. And I wanted to share, though, this afternoon on some of the sins of the fathers. So if you will, open, I must begin with, first of all, with curses from the blood. I know Doc taught on I don't know what he taught on one day because I missed that service, but I was wanting to begin with this in Leviticus, and then I want to do some on the sins of the fathers.
Heavenly Father, I bind every spirit in this place in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those spirits that harass us, that get our minds to wander, that to take our minds off of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of His Word and the what He loves for us to do, we bind those spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind every spirit and every person here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Any harassing spirit, any spirit that would disrupt this meeting in the name of the Lord Jesus, I cut off your power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I bind you by the Word of God, and you will not harass in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask you to fall, Holy Spirit. Have your way here in this meeting today, that we may receive all that you have for us, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord gave me this after I got home last night. I was asking the Lord what He wanted me to share, and He gave me this on the blood, and I thought, okay, I will begin with that. But in Leviticus in chapter 17, and I'm sure most of you know it, but for some reason or other, the Lord wanted me to share it, so I'm going to share it. In Leviticus 17, verse 10, it says, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourns among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth among you, that which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl, that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is in for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood. Therefore, whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." God said that the life of all flesh is in the blood, and Leviticus chapter 3 said that it is given as a perpetual curse. It brings a curse if you eat blood. If any of you have eaten any blood or any member of your family, your forefathers have eaten it, and the Lord just was beginning to show me as I was sharing this that because of the sins of the fathers in the area of the different sins that they committed, it goes in with the area of our souls being removed. And I tell y'all, like I told the ladies up there, when the girls discerned that somebody wasn't believing, I said, my job is not to make you believe. I am not the Holy Ghost. My job is to share. God says you share and leave the results to Him. So if when I share, if you can't receive what I say, get into the Word and read it for yourself. Okay? God wants us every whit whole. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, He said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body." Let me read that scripture in Leviticus I started. Verse 17, chapter 3 said, "And it shall be a perpetual curse for your generations that throughout all your dwelling that you eat neither fat nor blood." And if you're having any problems with your blood and in the area of high blood pressure, any of the blood diseases, you might need to go back and break some curses over the sins of the forefathers that where they have eaten blood. I had never heard of eating blood until I got into deliverance. I read it in the Bible, but, you know, this was the Old Testament, so I thought, well, you know, that doesn't happen anymore. So one day I was in deliverance with a lady that was going, that went to our church. She came to my house and wanted some deliverance. She was having some kind of physical problems. And so a couple of us ladies was praying for her. And the Lord spoke to us through the spirit, a gift of discernment, and said, break the curse of eating of the blood on her, over her. And we did. We started at that thing. And she began to get deliverance. And ladies, you'll like this. When she left my house, she had to hold her pants on. She had lost weight through calling that thing out of her. Because she literally had to hold her pants up to get out of the house. And that was the first time I had run into this curse of eating of the blood. And we broke it over her. And she told me, she said, her husband liked blood puddings. I never heard of a blood pudding. And then someone said, well, there's delicacies, is blood sauces, and things like that that people deal with. Rare steaks with the blood dripping out of them. Some people just like to run their steak across the grill and eat it. That's eating of the blood, and you need to break the curse of it. And God said, and the fat, eating of the fat. God said, don't do it. He said, well, that's Old Testament. Who is it? Brother Jack said this morning that it's one book. It's the book. It's the book, and it's written in the book. And God said, don't do it. So we need to go back to the curses from the sins of our fathers and begin to break them. And to tie this in with some of these things with the area of the soul tie, we have discovered that a lot of the sicknesses that are we're fighting off, for instance, if there's a case of insanity in the been in the family, we break the curse of insanity and then break the soul tie with the individual that that had the insanity and call that soul of that individual through the soul tie. Everybody know what soul ties are? We'll call that soul tie out where that curse has come in. You know, we learned a long time ago when we started breaking soul ties to call the soul tie out of the individual. So we did this, and we saw a lot of deliverance come forth, and we see the mind. You know, soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion, personality, the ability, the appetite. We try to say, first, Kenneth Hagin started teaching and said it's the mind, will, and emotion. Well, it's the mind, the will, the emotion, personality, the appetite, your ability. It's us. And so if the sins of the fathers are visited on the children to the third and fourth generation, and then they are, go to Genesis 20. You all know these scriptures, but don't you dare turn me off. I mean, you listen. Your life may depend upon it. Listen. I told the girls upstairs, every time I teach on the soul, I have to fight the devil off of my family. And Jim, when I came downstairs a while ago, I shared for an hour on the soul up there. Now, he met me, couldn't hardly walk. So it must be important for the devil to attack us like this. So don't you dare turn me off. I didn't get up here just to let you look at me. I want you to hear. And you write it down, go home, get your Bible, pray about it, and ask God to show you. Every bit of it's in this book. But we have read it with our denominational glasses on for so long, we miss so much of it. We miss it. When did you learn about sins of the fathers? Until someone saw it and began to preach it and teach it, and then we got, it's in the book, but we read it, just read it. Didn't we? We just read it, like a newspaper. But now God has given us, he's revealing the truth to us about it. He wants us restored every withhold. I said to the girls up there, I said, if you've got all of your soul, your mind, will, emotion, all that God made you to be, well, why aren't you walking where he created us to walk in Genesis 1? He gave us dominion over everything, didn't he? He said when he created Adam, he said, I give you dominion over everything, all the works of his hand. And we've quoted, and I quote it all the time. God says, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. So we don't believe that God will do it when we ask him sometimes. Because so much, I'm pointing to my head. I don't know where the soul is. Where is your soul? Somebody tell me. Are you sure? I don't know where the soul is. Soul's going to go to heaven with our spirit, right? Soul and spirit going to go to heaven. So this is why I say, where is your soul?
Because Jesus poured out his soul unto death. In Isaiah 53, it says Jesus poured out his soul unto death. What did he pour out?
Let me ask you something else, though, Doc. I believed that, too, for a long time until the Lord spoke something. And I'm going to give it to you so you can... Doc's my... He's the one that keeps me straight and goes and digs up all the things that I say to see if I'm right. I have to watch him because he's my watch guy. What went to heaven with Jesus? Well, his blood went. But what did he say? He was flesh and bone. His blood went right. But when he came back, he said he was flesh. Now, I'm saying this. You can do the examining. Well, I told the girl same thing up there. We were talking about this. And I said, I believe that I think I quoted that one time that he poured out his blood. I know he did. He poured out his soul for us. But
we're talking about the created bodies we're in now. We're not talking about
the resurrected body. Well, okay, this is what I had believed until. Okay, you did study on it and come back to me, okay? Because I'm doing the same thing, but really and truly, other than that one scripture, we really don't know what the soul is.
Well, the word that you quoted in Genesis. The word is nephah, which is ultimately probably the life or soul, depending on what you how you pronounce.
Okay. Going on. I'm not gonna stay on that, okay. But this is what I'm saying. If you've got all of your soul, if you're not walking under the curses of the sins of the forefathers, then we should be walking in the power and authority that God created us to walk in. Okay. Praise the Lord.
You must realize that your soul is a spiritual being. It is a spiritual being. And it is not your brain.
No.
Your brain is just a filing cabinet. And your soul, the Bible tells you that your soul is your volition, your intellect, and your...
It's you.
And your will. Your will, intellect, and your desires or your emotions. Those are the three things that it says the soul is. Now, I can sit and talk for about an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, but your soul is the... And I believe that the soul is carried in the blood, because it says the life is in the blood, or the soul is in the blood. And this is true because soul ties are formed when there's mixing of the blood. Soul ties are formed when you cut a covenant and the blood is mixed. Soul ties are formed when you have sexual intercourse and the blood is mixed. There's a microscopic...
I'm going to get on those.
Okay.
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 Excuse me, but I'm going to get under those. Okay.
But I think that the blood carries the soul. And this time.
Where's your soul?
Where's your soul?
Where's your soul?
Proverbs 20:27 tells you 47.
Read it.
It says, the spirit of man is the camera of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That inward part is the soul.
Well, that's what I said. Y'all dig it up. I sure got a controversy going. But the thing is, do you have all of it? Well, I was really debating going on that other, but let's go on. Go to Psalms. I was going to chapter 20 of Exodus, but let's go to Psalms chapter 7. I like this. Chapter 7. I like the discussion. It's got you thinking. Amen? It's going to get you in your Bible, get you in your concordance. It's going to make you dig. You know, for years and years, I came out of the Baptist church, and we'd always say, go out and bring people in, get their souls saved. And then we'd say, well, we quote the scripture, Psalms 23, He restoreth my soul. And you probably, like me, thought, well, then my soul's saved and it's been restored and I'm okay. But the scripture also says that we're saved, we're being saved, and we're going to be saved. So, and then the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you see some people that are walking closer with the Lord and more knowledge than others. And the more knowledge you receive and the more the word you receive, the more light you have. So we're getting light in a little bit here and a little bit there as we're willing to receive it. And it's good. Question it. Don't take what I say about it. Don't take what Doc says. Take what this word says. Get in there and find out for yourself. Because I was telling the girls upstairs, the first time I ever heard about it was in Win Hurley's church. I was a Baptist, just gone into it. We had just been going into our church in 1980. We went in January 1980 in our church and left the Baptist church and gone to Chicago. I'd heard about, we didn't hear about deliverance through Win Hurley. We got thrown into deliverance in a prayer meeting when demons manifested and we didn't know what to do with them. And I went up to that church and I heard someone preaching on the soul being, having soul ties and all this. And I thought, dear Lord, what have I got into? And I got up and walked downstairs to the bathroom. I was sitting in the back and I thought, Lord, I'm here. It's a Baptist church. And we say, he that's ignorant, let him be ignorant still. And I heard the Lord say to me, if you can't receive it, just lay it aside. And then get into the Word and find out for yourself. So I went back upstairs, and as they began to talk, and they would give me scriptures on it, I thought, well, it makes sense. But, you know, I didn't jump off in the deep end. I went back and did a lot of studying on it. We got into in the area of deliverance with soul ties back the first year we got into deliverance, which was in 80, and we began to break soul ties. And for some reason or other, when we would break them, break the ties, we'd ask the Father to cut the soul tie between so-and-so and so-and-so, however, whatever needed to be cut. We would call the soul tie out. We didn't know anybody else was doing it, so we didn't tell nobody was doing it. We just, it worked, and we did it. And so, but as we began to study in this area and began to find out that the soul can be fragmented, it can be torn, it can be tied, it can have soul ties, and all this, my interest was, I want to know how to get people free. I want to know, Lord, why it's taken so long that some of these people delivered. Jim told you the other day about the girl that we worked on so long. She didn't have all the soul at all. We didn't know it. We'd worked on her and worked on her. And she'd get deliverance by the bucketfuls. I mean, really bucketfuls. Next time she came back in, everything we'd thrown out was back. And our thing was, she let it back in, and she did. But we didn't know why, and this went on, and it went on, and it went on. And so finally I was saying, God, I want to quit. I'm so sick of it. I don't know what to do. I want to quit. I want to leave her alone. She's driving me up the wall. It just seems like I can't get her saved. All she talked about was God. She wouldn't talk about the Lord Jesus. She wouldn't talk about salvation. It was just God did this. God, 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 God. And I said, where is Jesus in your life? You can't go to the Father with, and I wanted to know who her God was. And so we were doing deliverance on her, trying to. She'd come in for somebody's another, and we were doing deliverance on her, and the Lord, I had really been praying all week, saying, God, I just want to quit. It was defeating me because I knew the Word worked. I knew deliverance worked. I knew when you call a spirit out, it comes out, and a person's free. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, told me to call, I called this thing up in her that the Lord had told me to call. It was a 100 souls that I found over in Ezekiel. And when he came up, he told me that he was in charge of her soul. No, it was the king of her soul. The Lord had spoken it to me. I had gotten it in my spirit, and I never heard of it before. And he said, call the ruler of her soul up. I just called the ruler. I didn't call the king. He told me he was king. I said, Lord, what am I doing? You know, I thought, well, if it's not the Lord, it won't work, so I'll do it anyways. You ever get to that place where you're so desperate, you just go on and try it? And I said, whoever you that's in charge of her soul, you that's ruling her soul, I command you, come forth in Jesus' name. And when he did come up, he said, how did you know I was here? And he told me, he said, and this, he said, well, you don't listen to demons. Well, I was desperate, and I always put Willis Ansel standing in judgment on demon when he talks to me. And I said, who are you and how'd you get there? And he said, I ruled her and said, if she hadn't come to this blank-to-blank church, said we'd have had all of her soul, said we had most of it. And so when we found out she didn't have her soul, we had gotten enough of it back. At that time, that's what that thing had told us, we'd gotten enough of it back, that she was beginning to understand the Word a little bit. But we got her saved. Finally got her to call upon the name of Jesus and ask Jesus to come into her heart. And then she began to learn how to fight the enemy. Did you ever wonder why people keep going down the front to get saved over and over again? They never can believe they're really saved. And you look at them and you say, they sure don't act like they're saved. Maybe you need to call their soul back. Psalm 7, verse 2. Some of you look at me like saying, what tree did you fall out of? Well, same one you did. We all came from the same tree, didn't we? Verse 2. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. While there is none to deliver. Before you came to Jesus Christ, when you belonged to the enemy, he had free reign over you. You were in the devil's kingdom. You belonged to him, and he had free reign over you. Well, when you came to Jesus, did anyone call all your soul back? This scripture says that the soul could be torn like a lion, rending it in pieces while there's none to deliver. And finish the rest of it. This is a psalm of David. He says, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Now, you know, we look at that many times. Have looked at the soul and said, "Well, that, you know, that's my life," and it is. You look the word soul up, and it says that the soul is a breathing creature of vitality. It's the senses. It's the middle part of man. It's mind. This has come out of Strong's Concordance. Breath, appetite, desire. It's the person. It's the pleasure. It's the will, the emotion, and personality. And if that it be true, then where is all of our soul? And now, when I was saying where is our soul, what is our soul? I really wasn't talking about what we got into. I was wanting you to ask you, where is your soul? Have you got it all? Is it all there? Is it all here? I tell girls upstairs, I ask the Lord to restore mine every morning. Do you remember? You know, one thing that I see, a lot of white hair heads in here, like my husband and I. Mine would be white, but didn't have color on it. I'm honest. I tell everything. That way the devil can't come in and accuse me. Listen, I don't cover up anything. I get so sick of people pretending to be something they're not. Saying, my kids are perfect. Well, mine are not. My grandchildren are not either, but Lord, they're going to be. But the thing is, we have set and bought the devil's lie of, well, you're getting old, so you can't remember everything. This is a part of aging. But my Bible tells me that Moses was 120 years old, and his eyesight was not dim, nor his natural strength abated. Why have we let the devil sell us a bill of goods? The devil hates us when we begin to get some knowledge that can take his power and authority away from us. Say, well, I'm born again. I'm a king's kid. Well, I am too. But I'm not there yet. And you're not either. You're just pretending to be. Tell the truth. He has sold us a bill of health and said, you gotta get sick to die. Well, people think that, don't they? The world thinks it. And then they say, well, if you forget something, and I say, well, that's just old age. And I say, no, it's not. I'm not old. I don't intend to get old. My spirit is renewed day by day. This body's got to line up with the Word so it can keep up with my spirit. And I'm not going to give the devil an inch. And you can if you want to, but you don't have to. And when you don't remember, when you can't remember something, you say, Father, restore my mind. Holy Spirit, bring it to my remembrance. And listen, I'll work on and do it. Everything that the Lord brings to my memory when I'm needing to know something. You ever lose something, don't know where it is? Right. Right. And don't you say to yourself, I'm getting old, I don't remember. You just cursed yourself with your own words. Go over to Psalms 50. Eight, let's look at a scripture there. You know, I'm just really tired of the devil having any part of what God's given me. And I want everything that belongs to me. Amen. Everything. Verse 3 of Psalm 58 says, the wicked are ensnared from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. So when we were conceived in the womb, the devil had an opportunity to work on us. Was your mother and father walking with the Lord when you were conceived? Did they know how to protect you? See, the word says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. And because they have rejected knowledge, the word says, I'll reject his children. And because we didn't know it, I wish I'd have known the things when my children were growing up that I know now. My children wouldn't be the mess they are today. And so God is telling us that he's given us authority. He's trying to show us how to be complete and whole the way he wants us to be. And it's got to begin with us believing what the Word says. He restores my soul. Well, why does my soul need to be restored? Because the devil tore it. Psalms 19 tells us, says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And that word converting is restoring the soul. The Word of God restores it as you and I begin to apply it. We have soul ties with people. We have soul ties with things. I'll tell you, I broke soul tie between me the other day and buying. I like to shop. Your husband stop ears up. Girls, if your husband fusses at you about buying, you can break soul tie with yourself and the world, and you can stop spending so much money. The husbands might use that on you if they hear me. But it worked with me. Every time we'd go out, I wanted to buy something. But I can go out now and look, and it doesn't bother me. You say, why? The Word tells us that anything we put above God, we'd form a soul tie with it. It becomes an idol, and we can form a soul tie with it. It is an idol. Over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Had to find my scripture. It says, verse 36 says, What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you ever heard about musicians, rock stars, that literally sold their soul to the devil to become famous? And you know, the devil's a wicked taskmaster, and you know, so many of them die young because they want to be famous, and they sell their soul, they exchange their soul for wealth and fame and all this. So this is what I'm saying to you today. What have you put your soul in? Where is your soul? Is it in your children? You say, well, I love my children. Do you know that you can have an evil soul tie with your child? We did some deliverance upstairs on breaking those evil soul ties where those children control us. And I shared with the girls up there about how, I think I shared down here, how I got free from my son by breaking an evil soul tie. I had broken a soul tie with him, and I couldn't get rid of him. I wanted to get rid of him. He's 50 years old. Good grief, I don't want to lug him around with me. All I was doing was being concerned about him, and we have three other kids, and one of those others is not even saved, and I wasn't as concerned about my lost son as I was this other son. And I was saying, I said, Lord, why can't I get free from him? I broke soul ties, cast the carol on the Lord, and it was just continually he was in my thoughts. And one day the Lord just spoke to me and said, break an evil soul tie. And so I said, yes, Lord, I thought I'd already done that. But what I had done, I told the girls, I said, be specific. Break that evil soul tie of control. And I asked the Father, I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to break that evil soul tie between James and I in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Restore his soul to him. Bring my soul back. And Lord, free me from him in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just cast him over on you in Jesus' name. Well, some of you have heard me tell where he had been, what he'd been into. 2 weeks after I did that, 2 weeks, he called me up and he said, Mother, he said, I think I've been insane. I said here that I made the remark that as a prodigal son, he was coming back to the Lord. He had been in the ministry, had a powerful anointing for deliverance. He worked with street people. They built a big mission, and he really got messed up. He left the mission and the work in the mission and got just in a mess. And when that 2 weeks, he called me and he said, "I'm coming home." Don't the words say, the prodigal son says, "I'm going back to my father's house." He came back to his father's house, and he sat on my couch for 2 days and two nights, or two nights, and my husband ministered to him. And he returned to his right mind. But it did not happen until I broke that evil soul tie and called my soul out of him and his soul out of me. And I was so, you know what I was doing, don't you, while I was being concerned about it? I was praying, "Lord, he's doing this. Lord, he's doing that. Lord, you do this. Lord, you do that." And I thought, "I'm so tired of that boy. He's just wearing me out." And I'm telling you, when I got free from him, I got free. He came home. He just moved back to town Saturday's a week ago. And, you know, I've seen him once, and it hadn't bothered me a bit. In fact, I said, "Lord, send him back. Take care of my son." Our middle son was in the hospital the day we left, had surgery. And we just came on anyways. The Lord's taking care of him. But you see, we are controlled by our kids. And do you know, as long as I was doing all this wonderful praying, God couldn't do a thing with him. And you say, "Well, I'm going to pray for my son." Are you really worried about him? Are you being controlled by him? See, you can care about him. But God's promised us. Hasn't he promised us our family? I said, "Lord, you love that boy better than I do. Why am I carrying him around? I don't want him. I cast the care of him on you. Lord, your word says that it's not your will that any should perish, but all should come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have promised me my family. You said the word would not depart out of my mouth, nor my children's mouth, my seed's mouth, nor my seed's mouth, henceforth forever. That's your word. And your word said, thou shalt be saved in thy house. And Lord, you take care of that boy. You get him back into the whatever you want him to do. Lord, I just don't care what you do with him. He's yours. You deal with him." And I rolled all the care of all my kids over on the Lord. And, you know, it's freedom. It's freedom. I don't worry about them. They're adults. And my grandchildren, I put them in the hands of the Lord. Broke soul tie with them. Called my soul back. Asked the Father to return their soul to them. And asked the Lord we can make gods out of our kids. You can make a god out of your husband. I know more women that try to control their husbands. Pray for their husbands. That's okay, pray. Now, God, you make him do, you know, he ought to be in church. Well, he should. He should be head of the family. God, you got to do this. Well, you know, God wants it more than you do. And he wants you to turn them loose so he can work with them. When you are bound to someone, and I've used this in the area of unforgiveness, you bind them to you bind yourself to them, and you bind God where God can't work. And when we turn them loose and say, "Lord, they're your problem, they're your responsibility, you deal with them," well, God works, and there's so much freedom in your life when you do that. You know, in Psalms 8, God said he made man a little lower than the angels, and he gave man dominion. He said, in verse 3, says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet." God put all things under the feet of Jesus when Jesus came. But in Genesis 1, he gave Adam the authority over everything upon this earth. And when Jesus came, he redeemed it back and gave us the authority to walk in dominion. Walking in dominion and believing, it's believing what the word will do, what God said it would do. And you know, sometimes, in fact, I just had a lady tell me, he said, "Well, I've been doing that and nothing's happening." Well, then turn it loose and let God work. Break an evil soul tie in the between you and your whoever you've been praying for, and let God work with them. Okay. I told Doc I was going to use this, so go to Proverbs 6 and let me show you. He was talking about adultery. destroys the soul. You know, in Genesis 2, verse 24, God put man and woman together, and they became one flesh. Proverbs 6 is where we're going. And he said, man and woman were joined together, they became one flesh. If you have been divorced and remarried, and your husband's remarried, then you need to, whether he's remarried or whether you've remarried, you need to break an evil soul tie with an ex-husband or ex-wife and call your soul back. Call your soul back. Call his soul out of you and ask the Father to send it back to them. So I don't believe that. Well, okay, I'm telling you, you do what you want to with it. But the Word declares that we become one flesh, and when we're joined together, you know, God said in the Gospel that he gave, Jesus said the divorce was given because of the hardness of the heart. He said because of the hardness of man's heart. And so he didn't mean for man to ever separate and be divorced. Today, people get married and they try out to see if it's going to work. They don't get married to stay for lifetime obligations. And that's what God meant for us to do, is to be bonded together and stay together. Just because you have ups and downs doesn't mean that you need to get a divorce. Now, I'm not, if you've been divorced, I'm not trying to put condemnation on you. I want you to know that you need to break soul ties with ex-mates, okay? And then, If by chance that ex-mate, if you don't break that soul tie and they've been get involved in adultery and you're still tied to them with a soul tie, you can be picking up stuff through that soul tie. You say, I don't believe that. Well, let me share this with you before I get into this one on adultery. My husband works. He works a full-time job, and he works in a has people sick all the time, and he was forever bringing sickness home to me. I got sick and tired of it. I would bind it, break it, rebuke it, cast it out. Say, you're not going to put that on me in the name of Jesus. And it still seemed like I was picking up everything that he had. Or he would get a cold, you know, and his nose would run or the flu or whatever. And I said, Jim, will you please quit bringing things home to me? I really don't want them. And we were sitting there one night, and he was doing deliverance on me from one of his coals because I had picked it up. And it just came to me, and I said to him, break an evil soul tie between me and you. He did, and he called that evil soul tie to me, and we called the evil soul tie to him, and he hadn't brought me anything else. I have not received anything else. And I praise God for it because it worked for me. And I was just telling the girls, I'm telling you things. Oh, yeah. We called it off to him, and I was the one getting deliverance. I was calling all the flu and stuff. After we broke the evil soul tie, we were sitting there doing deliverance, and I was calling all this flu and stuff off of him, and I got deliverance. That's how strong soul ties are. And it works. In Proverbs 6, chapter 6, verse 32, but whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Does that tell you that maybe a piece of the soul goes into the one you commit adultery with, destroyeth their own soul? A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. A wound, his soul can be destroyed. He destroys his own soul. I was teaching this one time in the mission in Memphis, and there's a man, one of the men in there, he said, I'm studying for the ministry. I thought, you look like it. He needed so much deliverance, and I got onto this, and he came up to me later, and he said, Sister Coffee? And I said, yes. And I thought, I know you're going to attack that. He said, what do you do if you don't know how many times you committed adultery? I said, you pray and ask God. So, see, at least he saw that he needed deliverance from it. And I said, you need deliverance from it. But the thing is, we said, well, I just don't believe that, and I'm not going to accept it. But it is true. God's Word just said it. Didn't I just read it to you? I didn't say it. God said it. Okay? Moving on. I touched on this Ezekiel 13 upstairs, and I'll go back and we'll go to it now, and I'll go back with this with the witchcraft souls being removed. I was trying to remember the tape. I don't remember. Norman Parrish has got a tape back there because I bought it. And he was talking about witchcraft and how they remove souls in witchcraft. And in Ezekiel 13 and verse 17, it said, I think Doc read this yesterday, but I'm going to read it again. "Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you?" You know, if you knew anyone that was in witchcraft that was a witch, they could tell you real quick that they removed people's souls. "Will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I'm against your pillows wherewith you hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly." Let me ask you something. In nursing homes, I'll say nursing homes because some of them are even in hospitals and in homes, but do you know anyone that's in there that does not have any memory or mind? They're just like a vegetable? This scripture says that when they hunt the souls to make them fly, it said that, "Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you, and will you pollute my people for a handful of barley?" And then it says, "To slay the souls that should not die," killing people because of lack of knowledge, "that shouldn't die, and to save the souls alive that should not live." When a person is in that kind of condition, now you tell me what it does to a family. I know a lady, in fact, a lady in our church, her mother went to the hospital. They were Methodist. And her father thought she was in a cult because she came to our church, so he never heard anything she said. But her mother had heart surgery, and they dropped her or something, and it was a lot of things went wrong. And when they brought her back, she was just a vegetable. And she lived that way 7 years. 7 years. They had to feed her through a tube. She was treated like a baby. Do you think that was God? I do not. That woman had no knowledge that her soul had been removed. She was totally a vegetable. It doesn't happen all at once. Now, this with her did. When she came back out of surgery, when I went into the intensive care to see her, I told my husband, I said, "Honey, that woman is not there." So where was she? I don't know. She was probably locked in her body, but the oxygen tube got stopped. But anyways, we see this when you see someone that is in that condition, and people in institutions that are in mental institutions. What if someone began calling their soul back? See, it works a hardship on the family. It takes money. This is another tool of the devil, that he keeps people alive that should go and should die. She should have died, but that woman lives. And no, I don't know to this. I mean, it was just amazing to me. And yet there are people that are dying that for no reason. Doc was talking about one that just died for no reason because of the witchcraft. And here we see in Ezekiel that it says the soul, they hunt the souls, the witches hunt the soul to make them fly. And what I was talking about, that tape of Norman Parrish's, he said he was dealing with a witch. He may have shared it last time he was here. I don't really remember. But he said that he was dealing with a witch, and he got him saved, got the man saved. The man was a photographer, and he had a dark room, and his wife thought he was in there developing pictures. He was removing people's souls. And when he got saved, he told Norman what he had done. And they went and broke the jars and loosed the souls. Norman said he didn't know how at that time to restore people's soul. So they just asked the Lord to forgive them. And the man repented of it and broke the jars and loosed the souls. The soul can be removed. You say, "Well, you're scaring me." Why? You belong to Jesus. You've got authority. God wants your soul back. And he says that we're to commit the keeping of our souls to him. I want all of mine back, and I want, and I'm committing it to the Lord Jesus to protect it, because He will, and He does. Unless you get back in witchcraft or get back in sin. Revelation 18 tells us that they make merchandise of men's souls.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.